Are you ready? Hey, think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at producer T Scott. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And welcome back if you had some time off. Almost, I'm sure some of you still have time off. Chong certainly does. So
Chong.
Lord. Hey, I want to get back on this O'Brien thing a little bit at some point later in the show, but let's go through all the games because we haven't had a chance to talk about
it. All right, let's do it.
We'll start with Texans-Colts. Who cares? Colts.
The Texans are horrible.
You know
this
what?
Is, without Deshaun Watson, it is the most unwatchable Texans team in history, I think.
And, boy, you take Hopkins out of there, too.
Yeah.
But that was, you know, all the money I lost on the Memphis over. I won back with the Colts.
Yeah, that was a strong win for me, too.
Lions beat the Packers 35-11. That one doesn't really mean anything game, either.
But Brett Hundley is so bad.
Yeah, yeah. That's one thing they're going to have to figure out, the backup quarterback situation in Green Bay. They've got to get somebody who can win games for them when Rodgers gets hurt because he's getting older and, you know, getting a little more fragile.
Yep.
Vikings beat the Bears 23-10. Wrap up the number two seed. And as we've talked about, there's a chance they may not have to go on the road in any of their playoff games. Which would
be a good
amazing.
Chance. Because I don't think the Eagles are going to win their second game or their first game.
Yeah, we'll talk about the playoff matchups a little bit later, but there's a chance they wind up having to play the Saints, which I wouldn't like their chances against the Saints.
Nope.
But
I wouldn't like their chances against the Falcons. I wouldn't like their chances against the Rams. I wouldn't like their chances against the Panthers. I think they're going to lose that game.
Yeah, I don't think they can play the Rams. I think the only...
It is impossible for them to play.
Yeah, they would play the Falcons or the Saints or the Panthers.
I like all those teams.
I don't know if I like the Panthers against them just because I don't know what Cam Newton you're going to get.
Yeah, that's true.
But Patriots beat the Jets 26-6. They wrapped up home field. And, not much to say about that one either. They covered a big spread. Giants beat the Redskins. Well, the Redskins, really? Don't even bother showing up.
Oh, boy. By the way, speaking of the Redskins, even though I lost that game in the confidence pool,
yeah,
I still won the confidence pool because we had to pick two games.
Yeah.
He lost both of his games because his other pick was Seattle.
Oh.
And my other pick was the Colts.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you. I'm the grand champion.
Glad one of us won that. So we finished first and third in that thing.
Yes.
Cowboys.
Me and that guy played the last 7 weeks by ourselves.
I know. That's amazing. That's amazing. If the damn Chiefs hadn't have choked, I'd have been right there with you. But regardless, Cowboys beat the Eagles 6-0.
Another meaningless game.
And John says, worst thing that ever happened to us Cowboys fans was Garrett winning 13 games. Now we're stuck with that idiot. That kind of plays into it. And it also plays into the thing that we're going to talk about O'Brien, because you saw the stretch of offense and you think, okay. All right, Browns lose to the Steelers 28-24. This game wound up being meaningless except... Poor Corey Coleman with the drop.
Oh, man.
It would have been nice to see them.
Off the helmet. I mean, that's so Browns.
Yeah. And fourth down. He gets open on the sideline. Kizer throws about as good a ball as he can. Whoops.
Yep.
And you could see him looking to try to score as soon as he caught it or didn't catch it. Falcons beat the Panthers 22-10. Boy, Cam Newton was so bad in this game.
He was bad.
And Falcons go into the playoffs now against the Rams. And, man, I'm...
That's the game of the week, right?
I think so, and I got to tell you right now, I'm leaning very heavy toward the Falcons in that.
Yeah, at that many points, the spread on it is absurd.
Aren't these two teams pretty close in your mind?
I think so. Yeah,
I honestly think that the spread should be 3 points. It should be for home field.
Yeah,
I think they're almost equal. All right, fine. You want to give them 0.4?
But six and a half points. I mean, that's and we've talked before. The Rams don't have a home field advantage. I mean, not much of one anyway.
No, so what you're telling me is, all right, so let's say it's a one-point advantage. You're telling me they're 5.5 better now?
I don't see it. And everybody's like, well, look what – I mean, Atlanta just beat the hell out of a playoff team. They're okay.
Yeah, of course, the thing is, I got to collapse that a little bit because a lot of it was just Newton playing like garbage. Yeah. And you turn the ball over, the score's going to get – out of hand.
I'm
like
sure
that.
Jared Goff would never do that.
No, that's we'll see how that plays out, and that's a big part of what we're going to talk about when we get to the playoffs. Chiefs beat the Broncos 27-24. Patrick Mahomes looked pretty good in what amounted to a preseason game.
Yeah.
So, Titans over the Jaguars to get into the playoffs 15-10. I was a little surprised because the Jags did leave Blake Bortles out there to basically Bortles it. And the one thing, and Leonard Fournette played a lot. Jacksonville was, I mean, it's not like they weren't trying.
No, Tennessee just showed up and played well and won the game.
And Marcus Mariota running the football.
Mostly showed up well defensively.
Yeah, they showed up on defense, and Mariota made plays with his feet and grinded out kind of win. I think they're getting mauled next week, but hey, they got in the playoffs.
Yeah.
49ers beat the Rams 34-13. This one's pretty meaningless, too. The Rams obviously weren't even trying, and they were kind of locked into where they were.
Yeah, but I still think, man, the 49ers are going to be pretty good.
Yeah, I think we both said next year they'd take a jump and then the year after be a playoff contender.
Yep.
I think their jump was the second half of the season.
Could be.
I think they're going to contend for the playoffs next
year. Well, especially when you consider Seattle looks like they're going in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
Although maybe when they're healthy, I'm still not going to count them out.
But you have Pete Carroll coming out saying that Averill and Chancellor shouldn't play anymore.
Yeah. And you have to assume Arizona is going to be in full rebuild.
Yeah, it's hard to say because, you know, what if they trade for Eli Manning or something?
Yeah, who's suddenly that's available. Possible, then who's their receivers?
Well, that's a good question. But I do
think. John Browns and whatnot. Yeah, I don't think they have done nothing.
I don't think the Rams are going anywhere. Although they could regress some next year. But
I would expect some.
Yeah.
But.
All right. One of the cool things about Sunday afternoon was watching all these games that meant something. Buffalo had to win to get in and needed help.
Yep.
They got out to a big lead, and then they had to hold on at the end.
If the Titans would have lost, Buffalo wouldn't have needed help.
Right.
You know, they either needed the Titans and the Chargers to lose, or they needed the Ravens to lose.
Yeah, but if the way it played out, if the Titans had lost, they wouldn't have got in because the Chargers didn't lose.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So they needed either Titans and Chargers both to lose
or Ravens
to lose.
And so basically for them, they needed to win. And
by the time they finished, they needed the Ravens to lose.
Right, because the Chargers were up big.
Yeah.
And so they got out to a big lead. They wound up holding on to win at 22-16. Dolphins get the late touchdown, and then get the onside kick.
Yep.
And they come up with a pick in the end zone. So, good win for the Bills. Congratulations, Bills fans. You're finally in the playoffs.
Unfortunately, you get to show up likely without LeSean McCoy. And
yeah, which sucks.
I guess he says he's a game-time decision. But
they'll juice him up as much as they can and try to get him to play. But
and someone asked me about this on Sunday. Can you think of a player that's more important to their team's offense than maybe other than Tom Brady, than LeSean McCoy?
Aaron Rodgers.
Okay, there's another one.
Yeah.
But I think that's it. Like, I don't think there's any other one player you can take off and they go from being... the Bills aren't a good offense to begin with.
No.
The Bills have one really good player on offense. And if he's out, oh, boy. But their whole game plan...
And that's the thing. If he does play, and this is one that I'm going to have to keep an eye on all week. If he does play, I think they have a chance to go in there and win.
Oh, if he plays, 8 points is a gift.
I agree.
They can beat Jacksonville if he plays. If he were fully healthy, I would say they could beat Jacksonville. But if he's not there, I wouldn't even fuel up the jet.
Well, I'm really glad the Nathan Peterman experiment was not why they missed the playoffs.
That's true. So, I'm glad for that too.
Yeah. Chargers beat the Raiders 30-10. The
game that ended up not mattering for them.
Yeah, and you know what? Cost the Chargers was sticking with an idiot kicker early.
Yep.
Yeah, not having that veteran in there. So they just miss out on the playoffs. Cardinals beat the Seahawks. Speaking of idiot kickers, Cardinals beat the Seahawks 26-24. You think Vikings fans were laughing at Blair? I mean, that game wound up not meaning anything.
Yeah.
But still, Seahawks would have liked to have won.
Oh, for sure.
And you know, we talk about the Cardinals rebuilding. They finished 8-8.
Yeah.
Including a loss to the Texans.
Yep. But had they not had Carson Palmer all year?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I think if they can get a quarterback, talk Fitzgerald into reconsidering.
Yeah, I don't think he's totally out. I think he could potentially hang.
Saints lose to the Buccaneers, and boy, that Jameis Winston did not have a good day until that last drive.
Nope.
And they just marched right
down. Good timing, though.
Yeah, it was. It was perfect for them.
Yeah.
It didn't affect the Saints in any way, really. They still won the South and still get a home playoff game. And finally, game of the day, Bengals beating the Ravens. And, man, this game was the last couple minutes of that. It just seemed like everything that could go wrong for the Ravens did. It seemed like every time that they were in a position to close the game out, they got an interception, but there was a defensive holding call. And then you get 4th and 12. And somehow they get a touchdown out of it. Bengals win.
Yep.
Bills go to the playoffs.
Dude, I was sitting there thinking, oh, God, there's no way Andy Dalton is going to be able to pull this off. And Andy freaking Dalton pulled it off.
Man, I'm glad to see it, man. I'm happy for Bills fans. And the Ravens make it every year. Now, I thought if the Ravens made it, they might have a chance to win a couple games.
Yeah.
But you know, obviously they were just as inconsistent as everybody else.
Yeah.
All right. Squeeze in a call before we go.
Jay Nick says, despite the limited sample size, isn't Watson equally valuable to Texans offense as McCoy to Bills? The Texans still have Lamar Miller. They still have DeAndre Hopkins. The Bills offense is literally hand the ball to LeSean McCoy and hope something good happens. That's what it's been since week one. Yeah. I mean, that's it. Hmm. That's all. And because of the style they play, because they're a defensive-based team, and they try to make low scoring games, like that's what they are. That's what they're built on, is running the ball well. And if they don't, well, good luck.
Squeeze in a quick call from Josh. Go, Josh.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Hey, what's up? Sports.
Hey, I just out of curiosity, I want you guys to think about it. Just kind of your take. What?
Hey, your phone sucks, Josh.
I'm sorry, we can't hear a word you're saying, man.
He's like
yeah,
muffled. I mean,
yeah, it's like
he was really, really hot and then dropped off.
Text in your question.
Or call back on, like, and not on your Bluetooth or whatever the hell that was.
Just text in the question.
Can we do that? I know everyone's complaint about our show is that we're grumpy old men. Let me just ask as a favor then, instead of bitching and complaining at our listeners. Guys, in 2018, I think it would be really swell if all of you would not call on speakerphone and just deal with the inconvenience of putting the phone close to your head and talking to us. Just pretend like you're talking to your grandma and she's hard of hearing and she can't hear you when you're on your speakerphone or your Bluetooth. So let's just use that let's go old fashioned for 2018, right? Is that,
Or
am I being grumpy or is that a nice enough way to ask?
Please, guys, we just want the best thing for everyone.
I just want the show to sound good.
That's on the interns, too. They should tell them.
Oh, yeah.
Turn off speakerphone.
Yeah, I've given up hope on that. Our interns, it's like talking to a brick wall. It's like, hey, don't take calls that aren't on topic. Don't take calls from people who have their radio turned up. Don't take calls from people who are on Bluetooth or speakerphone. But that's very difficult for them. They're like, okay. What do you want to talk about? Oh, you want to talk about the Miracle on Ice? Okay, we'll put you through. What? I can't hear you because I'm getting an echo. I don't know what that's from, but we'll just put you through anyway.
Yeah, just or you could just text your question. That would be easier. 713-780-3776. Please text your question because I'd like to hear it. Really.
Drunk Beagle says, what about Bluetooth headsets?
Let's just go to break. He's trying to trigger you. It's a blitz on ESPN 97.5. FECT, a smooth operator correctly.
FECT, a smooth operator correctly. Set your clock and grab your job.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Man, it's already 2018. I cannot believe it. He says, we're doing a blitz pool at the office. Under over 75 gems of the day from Florida in 2018.
Ooh,
that's a good number.
I mean, how many shows do we do total? Probably 250.
I think I'd probably go over then.
Yeah, I'll go over. I'll go over. You know what, though? I guess there's some congratulations in order. You won the death pool.
Yes, indeed.
Because no one else died. And it was a low, surprisingly low death year.
I know,
year.
Especially after last year where, yeah, it's like the fantasy football game where you have to score 240 points to win your championship one year and 89 does it the next.
A lot of famous people died, but not a lot of people that were on our lists. And I think there was, I don't know who it was, but somebody had one person die, and then you and I both had two people die. And you beat me on points, and that's enough. You're the champion.
Well, you beat me in the survival pool, so there you go.
Well, you win money for yours, though. Yours is better.
Yeah.
Yours is better. I didn't win anything for that.
Yeah, now good luck collecting 10 bucks from everybody on that.
Yeah, I paid my 10 bucks up front, and then Jong, like halfway through the year, was like, yeah, nobody paid on that thing. I was like, what? Right, I paid my 10 bucks up front.
All right, well, here's what I'm going to do is I'm going to shame everybody into well, we got to wait until Jong gets back.
But
when Jong gets back, I'm going to go on the air and mention who has not paid every single day that they don't pay.
Okay.
And then we're going to take that money, and I'm going to buy the three of us beer with it.
Okay.
That you can't drink until February.
Yeah, I lost Mary Tyler Moore and Roger Ailes from my list.
Yeah, good choices.
And you had the two people that I bitched about to start the season, but they were both correct choices by you.
Research.
What were their names?
Gord Downie and Sir John Hurt.
There you go.
Yeah.
So you were the champion.
Yeah. Gord Downie was the big point guy for me because
he's a younger guy.
Yeah. He was only 52, yeah. I believe.
That's a good win.
Yeah. I just want to say this was a team win.
Congratulations.
You know, that my guys came together and played very well. And, you know, we'd like to have scored more points, but a championship's a championship.
Yeah.
Somebody wants to know why, what do the Texans have a third or fourth place schedule next year. Fourth place schedule, but can I just say it's one of the most overrated things in football? Because you know what that affects? Two games.
Yeah.
So you get the Browns instead of the Bengals.
Yep.
Which, okay.
That actually may be an effect.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's an advantage on the surface, but you beat the Bengals every year. Well, what if the Browns actually get a quarterback? You know, but you got them at home, so they're probably not losing the Browns. And then you get the Broncos instead of the Raiders. I don't know.
That might not be the best thing.
I don't know if that's going to be a good thing. Yeah, the Broncos may be better. So the fourth place schedule doesn't really help. And just when you thought you were going to avoid the Patriots, no, you get to go to New England again because you play the AFC East next year.
Yeah, the home opponents for the Texans are Dallas, the Giants, Browns, Bills, Dolphins, Colts, Jags, Titans.
8-0 at home with a healthy Deshaun Watson.
No.
Fine, they'll lose to your Bills, but 7-1.
That is a pretty...
It's a manageable home schedule.
It's a very manageable home schedule. You know how many of those teams had winning records this year? Half of them. The Cowboys are one, which, I mean, that's... Okay.
9-7.
Winning record, I don't know if they're a good team. The Bills are 9-7. I don't know if they're a good team. The Tennessee Titans were 9-7. I don't know if they're a good team. And then the Jags.
There's no reason you can't be better than the Bills and Titans next year.
And you've got the Giants, Browns, Colts, and Dolphins. I mean, that's bad team. Although the Colts swept the Texans this year, so who knows. The road schedule, a little bit tougher. At Washington, at Philly, at Denver, at excuse me, at New England,
at the
Jets.
I could see them losing all four of those first games, and maybe even at the Jets. I don't know what the Jets are going to be.
Yeah, at Colts, at Jags, at Titans, of course.
So 7-1, and then 3-5 on the road.
Okay.
So there you go.
But you're saying 10-6.
Yeah, yeah.
You're confident.
Today, on January 2nd, predicting the records for next year. Oh, boy. 713-780-ESPN. Let's get a couple calls on.
God, please go well. Please go well.
Let's hope it's not speaker. Greg.
Hey, sports, Greg.
Sports, guys.
How you doing?
I'm all right. Hey, I got a quick question for you.
All right.
You got Deshaun Watson. He had ACL tear in college. You know, he had ACL tear, you know, in the NFL. You know, coming back after an ACL tear is tough. You know, you can look at the RG3 effect. you know, being a mobile quarterback, you kind of lose some of that mobility because you're scared to run, because you're scared of the ACL tearing again. How do you think he fares coming back with that? And one more question. Can CP3 hold the team now that James Harden is on injured reserve for 2 weeks? I'll hang up and listen to you guys.
All right. I'll do the second question first. I have no idea what the Rockets will look like with James Harden because we haven't seen them in so long. I mean,
that's one thing that's lost is how durable this guy's been.
Other than that game five of the Spurs series, I don't know what the Rockets look like without James Harden on the floor. So I think that's going to be a big question. I mean, if you tell me it's Chris Paul and that's all you got out there that's worth it, Chris Paul, Eric Gordon, Ryan Anderson, are they beating the Warriors? I would say almost assuredly no, which I think that's their first opponent this week.
Basically, what you want to see him do is just if they can stay around 500 with this group until Harden gets back. That's okay. Kind of what you're looking for.
But as far as...
And I think that's realistic.
You know, there are guys out there, and Tom Brady's had a torn ACL and come back from it just fine. Jamal Charles and Adrian Peterson both tore their ACLs and came back fine. There's not a long list of guys who have torn their ACL twice and come back and done well, especially with quarterbacks. And in fact, I think Robert Griffin's the only one I can think of. I know Casey Hampton, who was a defensive tackle at Texas and then played for the Steelers for a long time at a very high level. He had two ACL reconstructions. The first one was in college, and then he had one. In fact, he may have had one in college and then two in the NFL, but on different knees. But that guy had a hell of a career. I can't think of anyone else who's you know, especially a quarterback, a mobile quarterback who's done it. I'm not saying Deshaun Watson can't do it. In fact, I tend to believe that he's got as good a chance as anybody because he's young, but so was Robert Griffin.
Yeah, but you know what? Can we stop comparing Robert Griffin to Deshaun Watson? Robert Griffin did not have the work ethic of this kid. He didn't have the head on the shoulder that this kid has, and I have no doubt that.
But you know what? Deshaun Watson didn't have the legs that Robert Griffin had, and
now that may be an advantage then because it's not going to damage him as much as it did Griffin. And the one thing we always said about Griffin is that if he lost his mobility, he could still throw the football. Well, he lost his ability to throw the football.
Yeah,
and you know, I honestly think he's going to be fine. What you worry about is if it happens again. I mean, obviously he's rehabbed from one of these before, and he did pretty well because he won a national championship. I'm not worried about that at all. I'm not a doctor. I don't know enough about it, but I do know that you know we've come a long way with these things since Casey Hampton played, even.
Yeah,
and you know you've had them. You know you can recover from them.
Yeah, and I'm also not a world class athlete.
But you know what? I mean, this guy works his ass off to get, and he will put in the time. He will do the things he needs to do. Mentally, he's where he needs to be. I don't think it's a fair comparison because I think there were always questions about RG3's mentality.
Okay, but so. I do think there is the obvious comparison because they both had two ACL reconstructions, and that's the only comparison you can make there. I think making, you know, pre ACL comparisons was a little off base, was actually a lot off base. But now that we've had two guys go through double ACLs, and, you know, I give Deshaun the benefit of the doubt that he'll be able to come back. I just don't know if he'll ever come back and be as good as he was or if he'll be as great as he was going to be because of it. That's all.
I believe he will be. And until.
But what makes you believe that?
What makes me believe that is because all the reasons I just gave you. I mean, for one thing.
But no one's ever done it before.
Well, I don't know that no one's ever done it before. I haven't gone and researched who's had two ACLs, but, you know, he came back from one. It's a different knee. I don't see any reason why he can't come back from the other. Same reason that, you know, a lot of people are, Jadeveon Clowney had microfracture surgery. He'll never be the same. Well, that worked out, didn't it? He's turned into a pretty good player.
Yep.
So I just think it's...
Amari Sotomayor had that, and he was never the same, though. I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's not like it's a...
And then how many years before did he have it? I mean, you know the science with these things. They're constantly making strides on how to do this stuff better. And, again, I'm not going to... You know, Lamont mentioned Frank Gore tore both his ACLs, didn't he?
I don't know. Maybe he did.
Yeah, so...
He may have had them both torn at the same time.
And I know he...
I thought his was an Achilles, though. I thought he had like an ACL and an Achilles.
I thought he had. I don't remember.
Frank Gore is a monster.
But no, I am not worried about Deshaun Watson at all. I think he's going to come back. He's going to be fine. I think he's got a chance to be even better than he was. But you know, who knows what's going to happen next? Maybe he blows an Achilles. I don't know. I mean, I can't predict injuries. He wasn't very injury prone in college. He did have the one, but does that mean it's going to be the same in the NFL? I mean, with this offensive line in front of him, maybe he gets hit 26 times and starts getting concussed like these other guys. Yeah. I don't know. Those are questions I can't answer. But, you know, yeah, if he comes back and he can't walk, then okay, fine, I'm wrong. But I don't see any
what
reason.
What I will say is,
if he were 35 years old, I'd be a little bit more worried.
Obviously. I will say I'm glad that he tore his ACL when he did, because the start of the season shouldn't be in question at this point.
Yeah, and you know, there's a lot of other guys that may not necessarily be in that situation.
Yeah, who went down late in the season, and it's like, oh boy, what are they going to do?
Oh, Carson Wentz,
right?
Are we sure Carson Wentz is going to be back for
exactly.
next year?
Exactly. So those situations are the ones that are a lot more worrisome for the future. But yeah, if his rehab goes well, I'm excited to see what he can do for sure.
He's not. The guy's not going to, if he comes back, not the same. It's not going to be because he wasn't in there working and trying to get it rehabbed. And it's not going to be because he goes out there and he's scared to get hit. I just don't see that with this guy. So,
all right, guys. Tri-Eagle is a born and raised in Texas company. They care about providing a good, low electricity rate. They provide tools to help you decrease the amount of energy your home uses overall, which is a great thing. That's what you want at the end of the day. Use promo code ESPN. You'll get a discount. And if you're in the CenterPoint territory, you can get the Smart Energy 36 plan locked in at 8.9 cents for 3 years. That includes the all-new Ecobee 4 thermostat with Alexa voice service. You can ask the Ecobee to set a timer, read you the news, adjust the temperature, and more. Tri-Eagle will even come out and install it for absolutely free. Give them a call, 877-93-EAGLE, or visit them online at TriEagleEnergy.com. That's TRIEagleEnergy.com. PUCT number 10064 for Tri-Eagle Energy.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. And usually joins us on Mondays, but we were all a little busy yesterday. Always a pleasure to have Lance Zierlein on the show. Co-host The Bench here in the mornings with John Granato, the other really kick-ass show on the station. What's up, man?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you doing?
We're just talking a little Texans and other stuff.
I don't know if this is breaking news to everybody, but the Texans have made some coaching changes. Did you know about these already?
I did. They're calling it the Red Wedding.
Yeah. John Butler, the secondary coach who Bill O'Brien acted like was the next big thing at this time last year.
Mm-hmm.
They're saying they're stepping away. But I guess that's what everybody in the tech, nobody's getting fired around here. Everybody's just saying, I'm tired of being a defensive backs coach here, so I'm going to just not let you write me any more checks, and I'm just going to go.
That's how it always works, doesn't it?
Larry Izzo is going to step away, quote fingers.
Mutual. That one was mutual.
When you almost fight your head coach, that's probably not a good sign.
No?
No.
And you got another year after that.
I wish Larry Izzo and Bill O'Brien would have fought.
Oh, this is for two straight years. They go at it. Their personality is just oil and water.
Doug Coleman.
Assistant DB coach. I mean, assistant special teams.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then Charles London and Jim Bernhardt.
Wow. So. Charles London, I know about the running backs coach. Jimmy Bernhardt goes way back with him to college. I'm surprised he's gone. That one actually might be a stepping away.
That one is one of the ones listed as stepping away.
Yeah, that one could be. He's.
It actually says Butler, Izzo, Coleman let go. Charles London, Jim Bernhardt step away.
Okay, Jim Bernhardt I could see. London I don't know enough about.
Well,
not surprising, but it just goes to show you. Coaches who are going to be gone don't make those kind of changes. So,
and no word yet on Mike Vrabel.
No. Well, Mike Vrabel is – I don't think Mike Vrabel's going anywhere. I don't think unless he gets a head coaching job at –
Please get a head coaching job.
Indianapolis and Detroit are the two that he's expected to interview for.
unbelievable.
We'll see. He coached
the worst defense in the league this year.
In the league?
They gave up more points than every team in the league.
Did they really?
Yes, every single team.
That doesn't seem good.
No, that seems really bad. It doesn't seem like that guy would get a promotion, but, you know.
How much of that, do you not give him any slack?
Of course you give him some.
Yeah.
You give him some.
I mean, not for the linebackers he had were the linebackers. The DBs, frankly, were the DBs.
That's the DBs.
You know?
So basically you were without without Watt and Merciless.
You got to do a better job than
you
they
gotta
did.
You got to do better. You can't be last in the league.
You know, here's what I wonder, though, AJ. I wonder if he's one of the – see, I think Bill O'Brien might ultimately be a better offensive mind than head coach. I'm wondering if Mike Vrabel might be a better head coach than defensive coordinator. Because being a head coach is about you got to get everyone to buy in. There's a certain – I think you have to have a certain demeanor, which I'm not always sure Bill O'Brien has that demeanor. He's such a red ass, you know. Vrabel has been there, done that with the Patriots. He's seen how it's done. I get a really good demeanor from him and vibe. You know, coordinating a defense, calling plays, that's a different deal. And that was his first year as being a full-time defensive coordinator, as far as I know. I mean, I don't think he's ever done it any other time. So I'm wondering if maybe Vrabel isn't going to be a better, you know, potential leader of a team than maybe a guy who schemes up defense.
Right, then a guy who's got to call X's and O's.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Maybe
it's possible.
Maybe he should be a cheerleader, you're saying.
No. Being a head coach is a real – I mean, that's a real thing. Certain guys can do it. You know, I look at what Kirby Smart has done at Georgia. Georgia's had talent up to this point.
Yeah.
But I was trying to think, Kirby Smart, something has happened and clicked. That same team that's got its ass kicked plenty of times last year, a lot of the same guys are on the team. He got them to do more this year. Nick Saban got LSU to do something that they had never – they hadn't done for decades. And then when he left, they went back to kind of being up and down. He knows what he's doing. I think there's something to – I really do. I really think there's something to being a good head coach. I think those guys have certain characteristics that people want to follow.
But how many guys have been failures as coordinators and then someone said, you know what, I still want to give that guy a shot? That just seems like a rare thing.
Well, that is rare.
You know, because right now, Mike Vrabel's tenure as a defensive coordinator cannot be described as anything other than a failure.
Yeah. Now, one thing that I will say that he has done, I think he was single-handedly is too strong. He was incredibly influential in the success of Whitney Merciless. I remember going to that first practice where Vrabel was there, and I thought, Whitney is so soft against the run. Like, this is not going to work. And Vrabel was up his ass probably like 7 snaps in a row. Do it again. Do it again. Do it again. And it was on top of – and I just thought, Whitney Merciless is not long for this team. And I'll be damned if Whitney Merciless didn't start to come around. He became more physical. He started to take the coaching. And I knew Vrabel was a good position coach. But being a good position coach doesn't mean you're going to be a great offensive or defense coordinator.
Right.
But he was a good position coach. He got the most out of John Simon. He got a lot out of Clowney. I think he was influential in turning Whitney Merciless into the player he was. And so some of his heat, I guess, is going to be, look, you can't – a lot of it obviously is going to come from his playing days, his personality. He's got some cachet that people buy into. Will it translate? We'll see. I still think he's a little bit of a long shot to get either one of those head coaching jobs.
He's a long shot to – not be here then.
No, I think he'll definitely be back in Houston if he's not a defense. He will be the DC if he doesn't get a head coaching job. That's my thought.
Okay.
Unless they roll Romeo Crennel back into that spot, which is entirely possible.
And we talked about that earlier. I wouldn't be opposed to.
No, how could
you
be?
But it would seem like an awkward conversation to have with Romeo and be like, hey, man.
Yeah.
You remember last year when we were like, we're kind of just changing your role. We want to change it back to the old role where you like, you know, you're in charge.
Hey, let's do it again. Hey, I left here and came back here. It can be done.
Okay. All right.
I'd still be for, let's go get somebody who just got fired as a head coach. Jack Del Rio, Chuck Pagano, somebody who's got a proven track record in a different kind of defensive
John
system.
John Fox.
Yeah, that's not.
Because those guys, I don't think anybody's banging down their doors to give them head coaching jobs.
You know, you wonder though, those guys, I think are all, other than Pagano, I think they all have years left on their contract. I don't know if Pagano might have had a year left. They could. Here's what you can do.
They can just sit out and make money.
You can sit out and make money, or you can work that other job and they pay the difference. The other NFL team will pay the difference. But if I'm, why not just sit out?
Well, for some of these guys, I mean, particularly a guy like, you know, I think Jack Del Rio has to worry about it less. But you sit out a year, people start, I mean, unless you're John Gruden, people start to think, well, he's not really
is
that
Jack
close.
Is Jack done, though? I mean, he's had some success with Jacksonville. I'm kind of surprised. It seems like this is Premier League soccer now. If you have a bad year, you could just be done
now.
You don't get two in a row. One, and you could be done. Vance Joseph was almost done after 1 year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is what I see with, like, Premier League soccer. You know, Jack Del Rio has gotten the sack today. He's officially gone. And I'm just thinking, man, it's got to be because the expectations were so high for the Raiders. Why else would you get fired after 1 year?
Right.
But, I mean, it was a disappointing year.
He also took the freaking Raiders to the playoffs last year. I just think
they may be giving up on him early, but I don't know the situation in the locker room. Are those guys still playing for him? Amari Cooper has gone in a tank.
To me, Jack Del Rio, of the three guys we just mentioned, Fox, Pagano, and
Fox
Del Rio.
Fox is done as a head coach.
Del Rio is the one I'm most interested in as a head coach.
Yeah,
you know,
I'm not interested in Pagano, and Fox, I think, has burned through all his opportunities.
Yeah.
Del Rio, I still think he'd coach.
I think so, too. But I think any of those guys would be a slam dunk as a DC. And honestly, maybe people make fun of me for this, I'd take Jeff Fisher as a defensive coordinator. If you can get a guy like that just to come in and only worry about your defense and that's your one job, I'm not opposed to that.
I couldn't see him getting along with O'Brien.
Oh, I just mean in general.
I'm not saying
necessarily here, but, well, I was talking about those other guys being here potentially, but yeah, Jeff Fisher maybe not here, but Jack Del Rio shows up to coach this defense?
Yeah.
You can't tell me that's not an upgrade over Mike Vrabel.
Oh, well, it might be. I mean, he's done it before. He's gotten it done with results.
Yeah.
You know, so
he may have to call Wade Phillips back.
Everywhere he goes, year one is
you get that year
the
one
best ever.
The Rams, I mean, they may they'll trade him away for something.
Yeah, that's right. He's still pretty good with the Rams, I think.
Well, what do you think of the playoff matchups? Who do you think's in good shape? Who do you think's in bad? I'm surprisingly lopsided point
total
spreads.
Yeah.
You know, with these playoff games.
Well, especially in the AFC, but I'm not super excited about the AFC. I don't. You know, it's interesting because I think the Jaguars are the one team that are a nightmare matchup for New England. But I could also see them going out in the first round.
Well, I said if LeSean McCoy were playing, I don't think he's going to play, which almost makes the Bills not even, they shouldn't even show up. But
they're not, they're not feasible as a playoff team.
They're, without LeSean McCoy, they are nothing. He is so important to that offense. But with him, that's a team that could have easily beaten Jacksonville.
Oh, without question.
Like, if they can run, because they play the same kind of ball Jacksonville
does. You have to run the ball. If you can't run a ball against them, you have no chance.
Yeah, but without him, I just think Jacksonville's going to run over them. And then, you know, the Titans-Chiefs matchup is just so...
such a snooze.
Yeah, it's got no appeal to me.
I think it's Chiefs, but I'm really more interested in the NFC. I went and looked at have you guys looked at the totals, the odds to win? You know, there's Philadelphia's like tied for with the Saints. It depends on where you look. But number one is in the NFC, the Vikings are the clear-cut favorite. But then after that, it's the Saints, the Eagles, and who's the
Falcons?
And it's the
Rams.
Saints, the Eagles, and the Rams. I saw at least today all at 3-1. And of that team, I really make the Eagles fourth. I don't give the Eagles a chance.
I would pick the Eagles last of the teams in the NFC. Like if you said gun to head, who's going to be in the Super Bowl, and I put them in order, the Eagles would be number six.
I tell you what though, this Carolina love, Cam can't look that bad. I'm really worried. I thought Cam Newton looked terrible.
He did.
I mean, such terrible interceptions.
You know what he looked like? He looked like Nick Foles.
Yeah.
And you know what? The difference is Cam Newton has a different level where he can actually be good.
He can actually attain something.
Nick Foles is just
Nick
Foles.
Are you guys buying the Falcons, though? Because I know what the Falcons did last year. I have not seen them crank that up, I think, for two games in a row, three games in a row at all this year. I don't think they have it in them to do it this year.
The only reason I buy into the Falcons is the same reason I buy into the Saints. If it comes down to it, those guys have real quarterbacks that I feel like, you know what, I can count on those guys to
actually
do something.
The difference is I don't see the explosiveness from Atlanta's offense like I saw in the past. Alvin Kamara has added a way different element.
Yeah.
Can you believe?
It'd help if the Falcons could run the football again. Like
that's what I'm saying. Devontae Everything Freeman's was just based off the play action, off of the bootleg and the outside zone scheme. And there's another guy, Kyle Shanahan, Kyle Shanahan is really one of the premier play callers and has been since Gary Kubiak gave him that opportunity. He is a great play caller. When they lost, and I know Shanahan also is kind of the GOAT for the failings of the Super Bowl, but when Atlanta lost Kyle Shanahan, they really lost their running game because his understanding of how to utilize the outside zone and then use the play action off of it, he turned Matt Ryan into a superstar again when he was kind of a forgotten quarterback for about 3 years.
I want to ask you, because Kyle Shanahan's a good example of a coordinator who went on and the team took a chance on him and they got better for it. And we talked about the Bengals re-signing Marvin Lewis.
Oh, my God.
It looks like the Texans are going to keep Bill O'Brien. Two coaches who are right about 500 coaches for their career.
Yeah, Marvin's a little over. Got 14 years of doing it.
Yeah. Bill's a little bit under 500 in his. And I said I'm a big believer in throw someone new out there, give someone new a chance. And we talked a couple weeks ago about Frank Reich. I've been saying the last week or two, Matt LaFleur is another guy, the OC in with the Rams. Mm-hmm. I'd like to see what these guys can do. And at some point, I feel like if your team is stuck in neutral, I'd rather take the chance of dropping down to 6-10, 4-12 for a couple years with the upside of actually doing like what the Rams are doing or what the Bills did.
The one difference I would say there, guys, is for me, the Rams always had some talent offensively. You know, we know they had Todd Gurley. They had no offensive line. They kept trying to draft wide receivers, and they failed miserably.
But this is they've had a massive turnaround.
But they've had great – they've had really good defensive players. They've done a good job of stocking up, and it just never materialized. Here's the big difference. They went and got Andrew Whitworth via free agency. Roger Saffold, they stopped bouncing him back between guard and tackle and let him lock in. So they actually paid attention. And their offensive line, they'd been drafting on offensive line. It's finally started paying some dividends with Rob Havenstein as well. But they added – you know, Sammy Watkins via free agency. Was it a trade? I think it was a trade.
It was a trade.
They drafted Cooper Kupp, who was a good player. They added
Robert Woods in free agency.
Yeah. So what they did was they added talent that helped to turn it around over there. And Jared Goff was an actual true second-year quarterback who took a step forward. Like, to me, McVay was probably the perfect conduit. Now, they were stuck in neutral. They should have been better for years, and they weren't able to get there even with Sam Bradford and all that. All the pieces happen to come together, and I don't think the Texans are stuck in neutral. They are as an organization, without question. But I didn't feel like the offensive – I felt like the offense wasn't stuck in neutral. They had a terrible offensive line and were still able to put 30 points up a game with Deshaun Watson. Like, I'm really curious to see what they do next year if that entire team is healthy. If you can do that with a bad offensive line – I'm kind of curious what happens if you stay healthy defensively. Now, no first-round pick, no second-round pick. You can spend some money on safety or cornerback and free agency, which I think you should. You're going to have to trade at least two of those three third-rounders to move up into the second round to draft an offensive lineman. To me, because if you think you're getting a good offensive lineman in the third round,
you're not.
You can get a good guard, a good center. You're not getting a good swing tackle. Yeah, you're not getting a good tackle in the third round. That doesn't happen much.
And unfortunately, they don't need a center. It's like the one spot where they're like, we're okay. We're okay.
Last I checked, Nick Martin has missed. He's finished on the IR 2014, 2016, 2017.
I think his backup is the second best lineman on this
team.
Greg Manson.
I agree with you.
That's the one spot. He's the best one they've got, but they can afford to lose him.
If you go to war with your two guards, the same guards, I think Suofilo is a free agent. I mean, you should have two brand new guards when you start next year.
Agreed.
It should be non-negotiable.
Unless Manx is a starting guard, which is feasible.
It's okay. You can get better than Manx, but if you had to go Manx, that's fine.
But
you can't
change
everything in 1 year.
But you have to get better at left guard. You have to get better at tackle.
Yeah, and I'm not sure how they're going to do it.
Yeah, I don't either. All right, man.
Good tackles aren't just available in free agency.
No.
Teams tend to keep them.
I don't know why.
We have like five questions I wanted to ask you, but...
Fire, I'm still here. Let's go.
No, we're running out of time. So
Let's push this break.
Well, we can't. We're switching over to
We got
to
get over on 94.1.
Okay.
All right.
We're simulcasters.
I'll write them down for next week. We'll try them then. So
Fred gets first three questions next.
My bad.
quick break. Get some blitz on ESPN 97.5.
on ESPN 97.5.